It's good to be with you all this morning. My name is Jason. I'm the associate to the pastor here. And it's always good to be together. I want to pay homage this morning to Pastor Janelle because this was supposed to be her sermon. But when Danny passed last night, we encouraged her to not have to carry the load of the sermon. So, but she did a lot of good work, and much of what I'm going to say is coming straight out of her notes. So if there's good stuff, assume it's her. If there's lousy stuff, you'll already know it was me. Last week, we talked about what is forming us spiritually, and we looked a lot at Romans 12:2. Let's pull that up one more time. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. For those who are going through the Practicing the Way course in home groups, have you guys been enjoying that so far? I hope so. We've had a great time in our group. I hope you guys have been enjoying it. The content's wonderful and the discussions are just so good. So for those who were there this past week, you know, you have homework to do. Maybe some of you have already done it, to do sort of a formation audit to see what is shaping me. How am I spending my time? Who is influencing me? All of those things. They can be painful and embarrassing a little bit, you know, to face that for yourself. But remember, this is just for you. And I just want to encourage you to embrace that process. Embrace the awkwardness. Be willing to face where we're at. And that helps us to move on, because that's not the end goal, you know, to see what's shaping us. The end goal is, as we look at our hearts and our lives at a deep level, the goal is to let ourselves be transformed by Christ. And that means we're looking to make some exchanges, to renew our minds. That word renew, it means to change into something new and different, something better. That's what we're looking to do. The first exchange is one we've already begun in that practice of prayer. It's an obvious one. You know, we talk about, JD was giving me a hard time the other day. He was like, well, though, like, the first practice is prayer. What's the next one? Scripture? We're like, well, yeah. You're like, it is kind of funny. It's a very obvious thing. Like, maybe you're saying we should pray more? Yeah. He was totally joking. But yes, like, it does seem obvious, doesn't it? But that's the first place where we are being transformed. It's not just that we pray, it's that we make prayer a practice. And that we do it to the point where it's like it becomes a habit. Because ultimately, that's what we're after, is for these things to become habits in our lives that we don't even really have to make a decision on. Now, I this morning marched into a bathroom and took a shower. I didn't have to think about that or really just like do some deep soul searching in order to make this decision. This is something I do every single morning for the sake of my family and my coworkers. I encourage you to do the same, especially you teenage boys. Listen, just trust the process. Trust the process. I encourage you. I know you don't think you don't need it, but I just encourage you. Be blessed. Prayer can become like that. Just a practice. We don't have to think about it. We're just talking to God. And it's just part of our lives, part of our routine, part of our day. These habits, that's what we're building. And this morning we're going to talk about that second really obvious habit, obvious practice, which is to become transformed in the renewing of our minds by reading Scripture. And there are a lot of different ways we can read Scripture. I think a lot of times people think about the process of Bible study, and that is a wonderful way to engage in God's Word. It is absolutely wonderful. I'm so thankful for it. I love to do it. I love the fact that there are people who do it way better than I do, and I can draw on their research and their experience and understand the Scriptures more, and it's wonderful. It's a great way to engage Scripture. That's not the only way to engage Scripture, though. There's a lot of different ways. And so this morning, we want to give some different glimpses We don't have to, you know, every morning get like some of us were maybe had the impression of as we were growing up, like, well, get your lexicon and your concordance and your highlighters, and we're going to buckle in and get into Scripture. And that's a great thing to do. Again, it's wonderful, but it's not the only way. So I'm going to have Doug Easter Day. Can we hand him a mic? I forgot to bring one up. Doug, and I have been talking this week, and we knew the possibility of Danny maybe not making it through the weekend, but he really wanted to share on how he interacts with Scripture, and he's just going for it, which is very cool. Can you just, this would be a super hard and difficult thing, and I know you're going through it, but you are walking with a smile this morning in the midst of the pain. I wonder if you could just explain why that is.
Danny was in the hospital every month for the first 5 months of this year. He came to the point he said, I'm done. His kidneys were failing, his heart was failing. And I said, what do you want God to do? Should we pray and ask God just for a miracle? He looked at me and he says, no, I'm ready to go home. This is a victory. We're not grieving. Can you imagine waking up and you're in heaven?
Yeah.
And you got your leg back that was amputated? And a new kid. Can you imagine? Well, that's where he is today. So Janelle and I were with him yesterday morning and talking about fun family memories, and she said to him, yeah, well, mom's there. She's waiting at the gates with a banana. Because that's what she did. All through their childhood, when kids come home, she was staying there with a banana. So I'm sure she had a banana when he got there to heaven yesterday. But we really are rejoicing, and thank you for standing with us. It's not, I don't feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Little jealous. Yeah. But he is whole.
Amen.
And that is wonderful.
Amen. Yeah. And it feels like a awkward right turn now. Because we're talking about reading Scripture. But this has been a thing for you that you've done for a very young age, and it's been an anchor for you and a place of comfort, and it's just been such a big part of your life that I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on how you have done this. You started memorizing Scripture at a young age and even taking part in quizzes and things, and you told me, like, you might be a part of a quiz when somebody would say, explain Genesis 6:10, and you would just jump up and just, like, quote it, because you memorized a lot. So you cultivated it. How did you cultivate that?
Well, that was in a Youth for Christ, and we had quizzing, and so they gave you the passages you'd be asking questions about. So I just memorized them. I think, well, I'll just learn it all. So I memorized the first 10 books of Genesis, the book of Jonah, the book of 1 Corinthians, and just memorized them. And then so according to Jonah 4:7, I just get up and quote it because then I get it right. So I was kind of actually made an all-star for the nation. And so, but you know what the issue was? What happened? I love the Scripture.
Yeah.
I love it. It's not a duty. It's not I got to do this today. I love it. Hmm. You know, really, if I have a day that I don't get into God's Word, I don't feel like I'm dressed. Hmm. I feel naked because I love it. Hmm. I really do love it.
Can you explain to us, you have had a certain practice for decades now, every single year. Can you tell us what that is?
Well, I have read the Bible through at least once a year for 50 years in a row. And I try to do a different translation each year. I think I've read most English translations, maybe not all, but it's just getting a new perspective. And then I don't like with that one, so I won't go back to the other one and see how it said it, but it's just, and I do use a program. One of the things that when I first started, I read the Bible straight through. I really urge you don't do it that way.
Agreed.
You get stuck in the book of Leviticus. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I get stuck. But I read some Old Testament, a psalm or problem.
A psalm or a problem.
And you have a proverb to go with your problem. And then a New Testament. So I read across. So there's perspectives of each. And so I've done that. When I got to about 70, I said, well, I'm going to slow down a little bit. I'm going to read it through once every 2 years. And it was, I just couldn't do it. So I went back to once a year. It was too slow. And, you know, I just love the Word of God.
So you have like four chapters or so every day or something like that.
It's 4.3 a day to read the Bible through in a year.
Okay.
So that's.
Yeah. Yeah.
4.3 chapters. So you, you're 0.3.
Doug, how long did it take you from when you started reading Scripture to when you really started to crave it and enjoy it, like you said?
Probably 5 to 7 years in that area. When I went to school and to be a pastor, you know, you studied. I didn't love it then. It's when I was facing issues and I'd read something and it, there's the answer right there.
Yeah.
And it was real to me. It was life to me. So it didn't happen immediately. It did take some years, but I do love the Word of God.
Just curious, as far as this particular method, and we'll talk about some different ways, but of reading the Bible once a year, does anyone else practice that? I know Jeff does. Oh, so we see, raise your hands high real quick. It's okay. You're not bragging. This is part of your method. That's beautiful. Thank you, guys. Yeah. The life journaling plan. Is that what you use, the life journaling plan? Okay. It does a very similar thing.
Very similar.
So, yeah.
Very similar.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Doug. We appreciate that very much. Give him a hand. You know, Doug, like he says, we've been doing this for a long, long time, more than 50 years, which is really awesome. And I think for a lot of us, it sounds daunting to think, man, to read that much every day and to keep going. And I know how overwhelming that can sound. Or maybe it's sort of a different kind of daunting. You talked about Leviticus, you know, getting stuck in Leviticus or getting stuck in like some of the really difficult passages to understand. You read Joshua and Judges and it's some of the darkest things you're going to find in literature, truly. So there are some of those moments, particularly the book of Judges, that I'm like, I feel faint. I am not going to do my devotionals out of the second half of Judges. It's probably just not going to happen. So if you're like me, you're coming through some of those things and you're like, man, that sounds super hard. There really are a lot of different ways to read through Scripture. So I want to give you some different glimpses because that might be perfect for you. For me, the reason that's never caught on for me is because I have too many questions. If I read that many chapters, I just have too many questions. And again, for some, that's great. You're seeing the whole picture and you're like, I love it. I'm just like, why did he say that? And then my mind just gets hung up because now I've got six of them like all right in a row. So there are other ways to interact with Scripture as a habit. So that, you know, that first one is a wonderful way. And I know Jeff has been doing life journaling, Jeff Starr, with the youth at various points and for various seasons. And any other big life journaling people in here? Okay. Yeah. Awesome. It is a great, great method. So if that hits the spot for you, please keep doing it. We're all just different. That's the thing. All of us are designed differently. He did not intend for you to have my exact practices or for me to have yours. There's so many ways to do it that are helpful and beautiful. So that is one of them. And the great thing about that is as you're reading those few chapters, then it's going and you're looking for observations and you're asking God for specific ways that can bless you and instruct you in that day. There's even, you know, places for journaling and things like that. So it's a wonderful method if that's what works for you. There's other things too, other ways that people have interacted with Scripture. One is memorization, as Doug mentioned. Janelle was saying in the third grade, they made her memorize an entire chapter of Proverbs. And it sounded so daunting at first. But then you can still quote a whole bunch of it. Come up here, we're going to make you, I'm just kidding, we're not going to do that. You know, and like how suddenly it's locked in for life. I had the same experience with Proverbs chapter 3 in the third grade. There's still so much of that jumps out. But my favorite thing, the best way that I've memorized Scripture are some of the 80s praise courses or 70s. You know, some of those that we used to sing all the time. You know, think of like, as the deer panteth for the waters, my soul longeth after. So many of these are these simple little choruses and simple melodies that have stuck with me forever. And, you know, I will never forget 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. Hey, you know, it's just locked in there forever. It's locked in. So Scripture songs are a great way to memorize Scripture. The great thing about it is that's a part of me now, you know? And that's, it can sink down in there. Man, what does the Bible say about love? Oh, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth not. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's there. It's there now, you see? Let those things transform you. So Scripture memorization is a beautiful way. There's some really cool stuff now too. If you're like, dude, you're quoting 70s and 80s songs. What in the world? Okay, young people with Spotify, I got a band for you, okay? Poor Bishop Hooper. I think it was Tyler that turned me on to them a couple years ago. It's just a husband and wife singer-songwriter team. They wrote a song for every single psalm in the Bible. In fact, they wrote 171 psalms because they took Psalm 119, which is 176 verses in 22 parts, and wrote a song for every part. So they just straight Scripture and beautiful melodies and beautiful songs. That's a great way to just sort of build yourself up and begin to memorize some of that. It's really beautiful. Another way that is so helpful is listening to Scripture. Most of the, you know, throughout the times when people were writing, throughout the Old and New Testament, you're dealing with like oral cultures where people are. That's the way they passed on information. That's the way that they read Scripture. Somebody would get up and read to, and everybody is listening. Especially in the Hebrew Scriptures in the Old Testament, this was the way, and listening for many of us really moves us. That's me. I had a teacher in the eighth grade, Mr. Broadfield. And Mr. Broadfield was supposed to be teaching us algebra, but sometimes he would open up a book and start reading to us. And that was the greatest thing in the world, was to listen to someone read. And I love listening to good readers now. I love audiobooks and podcasts and things where people are reading. So listening to Scripture is a really great thing for me. Maybe it is for you too. We have a couple of, I know we normally talk about, you know, when you're spending time with God in prayer and Scripture, don't bring your phones because they distract you. And that's almost always true. But if you are a listener, there's this couple of wonderful apps that I don't know what else to do but to just tell you and say, put on Do Not Disturb and listen to these. So we have a slide for them. If you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, I really encourage you to jump on that. It's really the only like straight Bible app that you need. It's got like every version you can think of, and many of them you can listen to. There's a little play button. You can download on your phone and just play, and it's fantastic. You know, you're just like, man, what is it? Let me look at John 10, and boom, there it is. Pull it up and listen to it while you're reading it. It's amazing. So that's a wonderful app. If you don't have it, it's on all the different platforms. The other is one you might not have heard about called Lectio 365. Any other Lectio 365 fans? Oh, yes, I love it. This is my favorite app in the whole world. Even more than my sleeper fantasy football app, even more. Last year, you know, we read this book, How to Pray, by Pete Gregg. Oh, many of us read it, but we preached a whole series of prayer on that. You remember that? Wonderful man and organization. His organization is called 24/7 Prayer, and they are a vastly international group. And every single day, they put out. It's usually about a 10-minute devotional. That's all you're reading through scripture. And then there's like a little sharing about the scripture, and you're coming back to that, and there's space built in for you to ask God, what are you doing here? And there's prayers to pray right along with it. This has become my go-to way, the first way that I interact with God in scripture and in prayer. I absolutely love it. It's really terrific. It's free. Look for that Lectio 365 app. Because again, you can read it and listen at the same time. And to me, that's a great starting place. Because I'm reading through a thing, and I'm just like, yeah, that's deep, that's good. You know, you can pull it up then another app when it's done. Or sometimes I'll get to the end, and my prayer time just sort of keeps going. It launches me in. It ushers me in. I strongly recommend that. It's really, really great. So those are a couple of great ways to interact with Scripture. The reading of Scripture for the renewing of our minds, listening of Scripture, so many different ways to do it. Janelle is going to come up and share a thing. Very cool. We had talked about praying Scripture. And that's a thing that it can be a mysterious thing for some people. And Janelle really makes a practice of this.
I just wanted to walk through how I pray Psalm 91 for my family. I had a couple people ask me this week, well, how do you even pray Scripture for people? So I'm just going to demonstrate what I would do for specifically my five nephews. There's a couple in here. You boys have been warned. Be good, because now everybody's going to be looking at you. Psalm 91. You who sit down in high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow, say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. Lord, thank you that my five boys trust in you. Lord, thank you that you are helping them to know you are their refuge. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Lord, protect the teenagers as they're learning how to drive. yeah, that's it. That's all I got. I've seen how they drive. He's not in here.
Can I take that one too?
Yes, no, please. That's very scary. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Lord, I ask that Aiden would not be motivated by fear. God, that you would speak to those places in his heart that fear knocks on. We just ask for your peace. Lord, protect his body, protect that kidney that is a little wonky. We just speak total peace over Aiden. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched, watch it all from a distance, watch the wicked turn into corpses. Lord, I ask that you would let those boys see you protect them, that they will be untouched, that no harm will graze them. God, continue to protect them. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm cannot get through the door. Lord, thank you that you are their refuge. Lord, protect Noah from evil. Let him choose righteousness. Let him choose to stay close to you so evil does not have a place. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. God, thank you for protecting Jacoby. Lord, protect his brain. Protect him from just the schemes of the enemy, the things that the enemy puts in his path. Protect him from, just protect his heart. I'm not going to say the rest because I don't want to embarrass him. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only know, get to know and trust me. Jesus, let Jackson, Noah, Emmett, Jacoby, and Aiden hold on to you for dear life. Let them know that you are the best way. You are the way for them to walk. Help them, Lord, to know and trust you. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. Jesus, let salvation be their story. Continue to cultivate a love and desire for you in each of them. Lord, let them know that you are the way. I just speak long life of salvation, long drinks of salvation over each of these boys. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness.
That was beautiful. Thank you. I love that model, don't you? Just to be able to, yes.
What translation was
that? That was from The Message. Yeah, from the good folks at NAV Press. Yes. Thank you, Janelle. Yeah, that's a powerful thing, to be able to pray scripture. It's a great way to do it. As we're seeking to make a practice of prayer, just some words of advice here. Start small, or excuse me, not prayer, of scripture. Start small. You know, don't think, man, I'm going to read the Bible not in a year, but in a month. You know, like, don't do that, please. Like, your guarantees you're never going to read it again the next 3 months if you do that. You're going to end up conking out. You're not going to make it. Start small. Choose one method, maybe. Just one way. And we didn't talk. We just threw out a handful of ways to interact. Choose one way do it. You know, go every day this week and just do that. And then you can continue to adapt as you go. But start small. Secondly, I want to encourage you to major in the New Testament. Now, we are people of the New Covenant. Now, the Old Testament is a beautiful inheritance, okay? Especially for me, especially the Psalms. I adore the Psalms. But if we're going to major anywhere, if we're going to put most of our focus anywhere, I would say put more weight on the New Testament, especially the Gospels. Why is that? Because we're trying to practice the way of Jesus, okay? We're trying to practice the way of Jesus. He's our rabbi. So if we're his apprentices, his disciples, the most important thing we need to interact with in Scripture is to see who he is and to look at what he did and how he responded. Our goal is to become like our rabbi, Jesus. That doesn't mean that David and Moses and all these other people aren't important. They are, but they're not our example. They would be the first today, if we could hear their voices, to say, hey, follow him. So more than anything, I would encourage you to spend more time in the Gospels and in the New Testament than in other places, but read widely as well. And thirdly, take time to savor what you're reading. Take time to savor it. Read slowly. Let your mind and your heart meditate on Scripture. You know, Psalm 1 said, blessed is the man whose delight is in the Lord's instruction. He meditates on it day and night. There's one scripture meditation practice where you read the same text multiple times with pauses for silence in between to see where our hearts are drifting toward. If any of you guys took part in our podcast, our Fruit of the Spirit podcast that we did, this is what we did every single day for like 9 weeks on that podcast. And so we're going to actually do that this morning as we close. And we're going to use Psalm 84. The reason is this was, well, it's one of my go-to chapters in the whole Bible, but this is the last thing that I read with Danny, as I'd been meeting with him as he'd walked toward death, and I was with him on Thursday, and he couldn't talk much. He didn't have much strength, but he wanted to read a psalm, so we read Psalm 18, and then we read Psalm 84, which is a song about the courts of the Lord and longing for home. So I want to take a moment and read this. I'm going to read it aloud. Feel free to close your eyes or to read along. But pay attention to any words or phrases that jump out at you. Pay attention to what your heart is saying. I'm going to read it, and we're going to pause, and then we're going to go from there, okay? We have that up there? Psalm 84, 1 through 4. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Is there a word or phrase that's jumping out at you from this? If there are, can you just call them out? I want to hear.
They are ever praising you.
My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Beautiful. Any others?
My soul yearns and even faints.
That desire for the courts of the Lord. Any others?
A place near your altar.
Place near your altar, yeah.
Where she may have her young.
Beautiful. So after we read a thing like this, when you're doing this method, you see, man, what is it? Is there something jumping out? And then we read it again and lean into that thing. So let's read it again. And say, Lord, is there something you're trying to say to me through this thing that's jumping out? How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallows a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. They are ever praising you. You see, we don't have to rush. We can savor. We can savor and pay attention to what our heart's doing. Man, that phrase, they are ever praising you.
praising you. That must be quite a place. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much that there is a place called home. A place where your name is being praised all the time. And even as the psalm was written by a Levite who just longed to be in the temple, Lord, we long for our true temple. We long for the courts of the Lord. We long to hear your words from your mouth. But in the meantime, help us, Lord, to savor and be transformed by the words that come in your book. I pray you would give us grace as we learn, grace as we find new practices. Grace, Lord, to understand and to incorporate those words into our hearts. We thank you. I pray that you would bless each and every one of these guys. And we thank you for Denny. We thank you that he is now ever praising you.